Some question.
First question from Ananga Mahini Didi.
From whom?
From Ananga.
Ananga. Ananga is asking a question. All right.
Maharaj, today at lunchtime we had meeting Ishtagoshthi. Pavan Krishna Prabhu expressed his opinion that here we have two different groups. The first one is people working in the studio. The second group, people who try to live temple spiritual life, and they disturb and hinder each other. What is your seeing of this situation? How to harmonize it?
Well, first of all, generally, these kind of questions I don't really deal with in this format. Understand? It's a question I can answer personally, privately, but online, broadcast, it's not the form for answering it. But I can speak in principle about it. And that is, there's what's directly related to Krishna consciousness and indirectly related to Krishna consciousness. Right. Srila Jiva Goswami says, Sankirtan defines as Bahubir Milito Tareva Sankirtanam. That when many come together for promoting Krishna conception, right, many join together to promote Krishna conception. So, as Guru Maharaj said, kirtan means a fight beyond what it means conventionally, hearing, chanting, remembering about Krishna. He said, gave this interesting perspective that kirtan means a fight promoting Krishna conception versus the mayic misconception. So in that sense, we could also say it's a type of campaign. And we see in the modern world, when it comes to a campaign, you have like the candidate who represents conceptually the ideals and what are the hopes, goals, achievements of that campaign and the candidacy. And then you have those who are supporting the candidate, right, in various roles. They have spokespeople who can represent more or less conceptually what the candidate is saying. And then they have a variety of many different types of people who are doing all of the practical necessities for the campaign to be waged, be maintained, and to achieve success. So some things are indirectly helping. Like we see in the American political campaigns, they need to call many people to tell them, please come out and vote on election day. So they create a phone bank, and many volunteers come in, and they call the people. Right. But some of the volunteers, they're movie stars or rock musicians or famous people. They come in to show that they're also supporting, and they're saying, I'm willing to do anything. I'll make phone calls. I'll buy lunch for people, because many things are required in the campaign. Right. So they're volunteering their services. Same thing in a military campaign. Right? It has a goal it's trying to achieve, but there are people who are fighting, there are generals giving the orders, someone has an overall concept, then there's a chain of command, there are soldiers, but there are also cooks, cleaners, people digging ditches, people running electrical lines, people doing all kinds of things that are part of what they call the war effort, right? And just like in the Great Patriotic War, you know, men are fighting front line, there are people back at home, they're manufacturing tires, parts, many things that may not directly appear to be helping with that, but indirectly they're also promoting that. So here, what we're trying to do is to make propaganda in favor of Krishna conception. But that means there has to be funds for that. There has to be, in the modern world, some access to technology to promote these ideas and concepts. So in principle, the idea, if you say behind Theistic Media Studios and Full Dome, is to, one is heavy on the entertainment side, the other one's heavy on spiritual content, trying to find a sweet spot where you can maintain spiritual content in a substantial way with an element of entertainment in the sense of being accessible to the public. That's the idea. But this is really not the place for this discussion. You know, this is, you have Anistagosti, you can discuss there at other times. But here I'm trying to deal mainly with, you know, philosophical issues. But this is also philosophical in that sense, as we have a combined effort here. So it's not one working against the other, but it is rather, there's an overall unified picture of what we're trying to do. Because we don't have the spiritual element, a place where we can live, worship Krishna, and broadcast spiritual content if there aren't funds to pay for that. How did this place come about? These funds, they didn't fall out of the sky. So Avadhut Maharaj and his team arranged things in such a way as a property could, after we lived for so many years renting, that a property could be purchased and that we could create a studio where we can do like what we're doing right now. But where do these cameras come from? Where do the computers come from? The lights, the building, the people, it didn't just fall out of the sky, right? There was an organized effort to make this all possible. So if we deny that part that made this all possible, that is, you know, to, how do they say, you know, cut off your nose despite your face. Right? It's a unified effort. So it has to be seen that way. So that's, you know, in the Gaudiya Math, Saraswati Thakur, he liked to have printing presses. So printing press requires some skill. You can say, also we had a Guardian of Devotion press. We bought this press, a $50,000 press. And then we didn't have anyone who could operate the press. There's some humorous stories in that regard. but anyway, so I realized then we need to get a professional person to operate this press because it's beyond the skill sets of our own devotees. And there's a learning curve of several years. You know, we went in this with our hearts and souls and a little bit naively, and then we're overwhelmed by what was required to actually run a printing operation. So at first we hired professionals. So some people would come in and they would run the press. So, and those people knew nothing about Krishna consciousness. But they were around devotees, they liked devotees, they took some prasadam, this, that, the other thing. But they were helping us print Guru Maharaj's books. So was that a good thing or a bad thing? And as Krishna would have it, in time, we found out there was a devotee in London, Kali Yuga Pavana Prabhu, who we're forever grateful to. His father was a professional typesetter. And in England, in other parts of Europe, unlike America, there's like a, I don't know the right terminology, but like a guild system where you're an apprentice. So he was an apprentice and graphic arts for so many years and as a pressman. His father was a typesetter. He was a pressman. So he was actually a professional. And by the grace of Guru and Gauranga, he came to us. So we used professionals for some time, but then we found out one of our devotees was actually a professional at doing the work that needed to be done. Like here, we have those who can do code or different things. We find they're devotees that have the skills. Sometimes they don't have the skills. We use other professional people. It's a complex operation, but it's all with this end in mind, right? As given in the Bhagavatam, yena tena prakarena mana krishnena vesaye. Find the ways, the means, the time, place, and circumstance to promote Krishna. So anyway, when necessary, we had professionals do that. When Prabhupada started ISKCON Press, he's in a similar situation. So he sent some of his devotees to professional schools where they learned, one learned printing, one learned the photography, graphic arts photography, plate making, etc., and stripping and all those things, and layout. Someone else learned how to run a folder, so to create a printing operation. And Gurudev, I can remember him saying about one of the disciples of Saraswati Thakur who, in the old style of letterpress, the man who's like, what do you call it, markup, taking letters out of boxes. You have these boxes in front of you, like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, etc., you know, uppercase, lowercase, then they're all little pieces of lead, and he would pick them out. And Gurudev said, the watching his hands move was very beautiful. He said, I saw the will of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati playing over him in his heart. So he was doing something that from an external point of view would appear to be just like mundane, like any other printing shop. But they're printing, you know, the publications of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So that devotee, he became expert at pulling the lead letters out of the boxes and, you know, as a typographer. So many things are there. But so we have to see, this is all connected. It's not that there's one part over here doing this and another part over there doing that. It's actually, that may be because of physical requirements, but actually it's a unified effort. And with one target, which is to promote Krishna conception against the mayic misconception. And in the modern world, if you do not have access to the internet, then what is your program for mass distribution of Krishna consciousness? We're told Srila Saraswati Thakur called the printing press the Brihad Mridanga. So what would he call the internet? Where we see everyone's walking around with a smartphone in their hand. We want to get our content onto that smartphone. But we're heavy on the spiritual substance side, which appears to the average person to not be entertaining. Because in one sense, it's not meant for their entertainment or in the ordinary sense. Although ultimately, if they can connect with this, they will find how entertaining, it's beyond entertainment. But on the other hand, it's just mindless, soul-crushing, numbing entertainment that is of no value whatsoever. It's a total, utter total waste of time, actually. But this is what people are charmed by, right? Endless distraction. So it's like this. So the sweet spot for them will be to find, well, where You can maintain your authenticity and your spiritual substance, and at the same time, it can be somewhat entertaining or compelling for the viewer, the audience. That's the idea. And at the same time, to have something that generates income to pay for the promotion of Krishna consciousness. Right. In India, in the time of Saraswati Thakur, people are familiar with Krishna consciousness, with and Bengal Gaudiya Vaishnavism, with mats and temples, and they understand when there's a mat or a temple, you support that. It's a cultural thing. Just like we see here, you look on the road, 6 o'clock in the morning, you see the Thai monks going from the temple and they go to the people begging. Because it's culturally accepted here. And the people, they're predisposed toward maintaining mats and temples. And the Western world, that's there for primarily Christian churches, Judeo-Christian sort of things, right? Jewish temples, Christian churches, they have congregations. This is the Krishna consciousness movement in the modern world, in the Western world, is something then again different. And for the longest time it was maintained by different types of fundraising in hopes of someday developing a community who could support that. So we're in a situation where Avadhut Maharaj and his team everywhere, they're engaged in different sorts of activities and business activities with the sole purpose of ultimately promoting Krishna consciousness. And rather than think of this as something that's just a future prospect, it's not, it's happening now. Therefore, we have a temple in Moscow and St. Petersburg, and now in Kiev and other parts of Russia and Crimea, Abkhazia, and different places, and here. It's not a fantasy, it's a reality. So we should be, if we need to, how to harmonize the things, we'll think like indirect and direct. So we could describe one as being direct participation. When we're actually hearing, chanting, remembering about Krishna, worshiping the deity, singing the songs, hearing the talks, etc. Honoring prasadam, all of these things. And then other things we can put in the category of indirect, but they're the reason we accept them and embrace them is because it's promoting what is direct. Just as the Guru Maharaj mentioned, Saraswati Thakur said so many times, he was telling his disciples, you should go to the English-speaking countries, and particularly America, right? Because at the time of his passing, he was saying, oh, we didn't take it to America yet. Had something went to England, to Germany a little bit, but he said, we didn't go to America yet. So he's always pushing this notion, this idea. And we can understand now for good reason, because that's from there the Krishna consciousness movement then spread all over the Western world and the rest of the world. But Guru Maharaj said, so there was one man, his seva was plowing fields. And we mean like, with two oxen and a plow. Right, not a tractor, two bull oxen and a plow, plowing fields. And they saw he's studying English. And like simple-hearted farmer type devotee, and they said, Prabhu, why are you studying English? He said, well, Prabhupada is saying we'll have to go, preach in the Western world, so maybe someday I'll be plowing fields in America. That shows how simple he was. Didn't think of himself as a big preacher. He's thinking like, well, what? I plow fields, so maybe I'll be plowing fields in America. I need to know English, to buy supplies and convey to people how to properly plow a field. So we shouldn't think, oh, the plowman, he's not serving. In Los Angeles, once Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and then there was like drilling and hammering and bang, all this construction work going on, and someone was apologizing to Prabhupada, saying, sorry, you have to hear this during the Srimad Bhagavatam class. But because that was for the promotion of the temple, thereby Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, no, those are the sounds of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we used to be happy, ISKCON presence. We're hearing the sound of keys on the composers, the typesetters, everything that's being done, we're seeing it's in relation, it's the promotion of Krishna consciousness. And lastly, when Guru Maharaj said Srila Saraswati Thakur was giving a talk, perhaps in Jagannath Puri, and he said, in a very high talk, in the midst of this high talk, someone came to him with some like, relatively trivial mot business. And Guru Maharaj said, I was saying like, why are they interrupting Prabhupada with this? At this time, he is something very high and wonderful is coming out, and they're interrupting him with these trivial activities, necessity. And he said, and he came to understand from Saraswati Thakur and his followers that he said, described that Srimati Radharani as the major domo of Krishna's household affairs. The major domo roughly translates as, you know, like the mistress of the house. She's in charge of everything, right? So he's saying the mistress of the house of Krishna is Srimati Radharani. So all the necessities are Radha Dasyam. So he's saying, happily, I'm interrupting my talk to accept that seva. I don't want it to bypass me. So that's very high vision of everything. But there are necessities and dealing with the world. We hear of Shivananda Sen Prabhu taking all the devotees from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri every year. And it was something to the tune of 200 Mahabhagavatas. So we can hardly imagine what that is like if you factor in that beyond Mahabhagavatas, first you have like Advaita Nityananda, Haridana, like that group. Advaita Nityananda, they're, you know, Vishnu, Tattva, and beyond. And then so many of these great devotees, and we know the followers of Nityananda, often eccentric in their own unique ways. So Shivananda Sen, he's responsible for taking not just 200 devotees or 200 Mahabhagavats, but this group, to take them from, and in those days, 500 years ago, they have to travel from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri, right? It's a couple hundred miles or whatever, more. So, and it's mentioned, just as a side point, that they're, because of occupation and different states, they have to like meet more or less immigration people, toll collectors, like that. So in other words, Shivananda Sen, he's handling the visas, the immigration, etc., like that. If someone didn't handle my visa and immigration, I wouldn't be here giving this talk. So or is what they're doing, is that a mundane thing or a spiritual thing? They're making it possible for me to be here. And whether that's a devotee or a non-devotee, someone, or is what they're doing, is it a good thing or not? Because if they don't do that, I can't be here and give this talk and the people don't hear it. So we have to have a big vision of things to understand that that's also part of this. In the case of those, I mean, comparisons are odious, but in the case of those Mahabhagavatas, Shivananda is saying, he's dealing with the tall people. And we hear, even in the pages of the Charitamritam, like, they're trying to collect money, they see Mahaprabhu, and they go, all right, he kind of looks like he's divine. I mean, like, he's really the real, he can go, but, you know. He has devotees coming to him who, some of them are ministers in the Muslim government, right? Sanatan, and not just anyway, Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami and others, and they're concealing, for the most part, their devotional position. And they're the right-arm men of these Muslim governors. And you can just imagine what that entails. It's not all pretty. So much so that at a particular point, Sanatan Goswami, when he understands he and Rupa Goswami met Mahaprabhu, like in the middle of the night, incognito, Ram Kali, etc., and express their impatience and eagerness to be with him. And at that time, he told them to, as he told Raghunatha, similar, told him, not now, but a little bit later. Told Raghunatha, stop acting crazy, go back, like act, and what your plan will be is act normal. Just act as normal as possible. Then you got the mercy of all the devotees and Nityananda Prabhu, you'll be successful. With Rupa and Sanatana, he told them this famous sloka, which I can't recall right now, Nari, about the Paranari Vyasmi, saying, like the wife who has a paramour, no, the wife has a paramour or another lover, she's more attentive to her household duties to not create suspicion with the husband. So in this context, he's saying, your boss is, they're like that husband, you're like the wife. Just, you have to be extra dutiful at what you're doing to not arouse suspicion, while in your heart, you're always with the paramour. So Guru Maharaj, he mentioned that devotees often find themselves in situations because of karmic circumstance, which they've generated previously, right? We know in Brahma Sanghita, karmani nirdahati kintu jabhakti bhajam, that actually devotees, they're not under the influence of karma. Whereas Prabhupada once said, you know, their karma is canceled, their destiny is canceled, right? Still, circumstantially, karma generated is like a husband wanting to assert his rights over a wife, right? Has some demands. So Guru Maharaj said, the wife is giving the appearance of satisfying the demands, while in her heart she is with the paramour. So there are many ways of understanding this. And when Sanatana Goswami stopped going to work every day, basically, and staying home with a group of pundits that are reading the Bhagavatam. Maybe he's working on Brihad Bhagavatamritam. His boss, the governor, comes and said, like, I need your help. I'm going to go out and conquer some more parts of India. I need your assistance. And Sanatana Goswami's, you know, first said he was sick, then they find out he's examined by the physicians, he's not actually sick. So then he's politely, I can't be involved in these things anymore. But he was up to a point, at this point, no longer. Right? So sometimes even in emergency situations, we have to accept many things that are ordinarily not acceptable. Then he's imprisoned. while in prison, right here, Rupa Goswami, when he left, he stored, I don't know, 10,000 gold coins with the grocer, something like that, and informed Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, when they make a deal with the jail keeper, that I have a lot of, you know, gold coins I can give you, and you can say to the Nawab when he returns that Sanatan went to the bank of the river to pass stool, and then he jumped in and the shackles on his legs pulled him down and he drowned and we never found a body. So you could say, well, that's a lie. You're not supposed to lie. Lying is not good. But sarva dharmam parichaja mam ekam sharanam braja. You say, well, is there some sin to be incurred for this apparent misbehavior? Krishna said, ahang tang sarva papebhyo. Whatever, if there's anything undesirable about it, I will take care of that. Like the fire, that whatever you throw in the fire, it doesn't contaminate the fire, rather that thing becomes disintegrated. So Krishna is saying, if it's going towards me, you're coming to me, the ultimate goal is surrender to me, then whatever irregularities or even what appears to be irresponsible or negligent of duty or obligations is not a factor. Whatever impending karmic reaction might come from that is burned up by Krishna. That's his guarantee. Ma sujaha means not to worry about it. That Krishna's personal guarantee. And in summary, Srila Guru Maharaj said that Srila Saraswati Thakur's motto, Pujala Raghapat Gaurava Bhange Matala Sarujana Vishayarange. Raghapat means Ragamarg. That's the higher plane that we're always hearing about. Sadhu Shastra Guru and Vaishnava, we're hearing from them about that. He said, don't try to bring that down here forcibly. It'll become rotten. Right? Rather, the Matala Sarujana Bhishayarange. Why did Gurudev want to change Bhishayarange to Kirtanarange? Because this word used by Srila Saraswati Thakur in Bengal, Vishaya, Vishayi, a Vishayi means a materialist, means material things. It means generally things that are undesirable, dealing with undesirable things. So because outside of Bengal or the Western world, this is, it doesn't mean anything. People don't know Bengali, they don't know what the difference between Vishayarange and Kirtanarange. But there, and they're going to put it on the mat, what do you call it? The doorway above, whatever that's called, in a prominent position, you know. Gurudev said, you know, we put Kirtanarange for public consumption. But actually Saraswati Thakur's expression was Vishayarange, saying, we will be having to deal with so many mundane things in service to that higher plane. Right? Saraswati Thakur's movement is a revolutionary movement. Right? Before him, you know, the people thought if a sadhu wore shoes, they thought he was bogus. Shouldn't even wear shoes or sandals. Right? When you go on pilgrimage, it's called padayatra. Right? means, you know, barefoot, walking barefoot. And now, and Saraswati Thakur, he showed up in Radha Kunda in a, you know, a motor car, a car. Right? This is in the 1930s. I'll never forget hearing a lecture from Srila Prabhupada where he was saying how degraded the modern world was. And he was giving like three examples to show how degraded people are. And he said, nowadays, everyone is a womanizer, a drunkard, motor car driver. Like, that was the old womanizer, drunkard, motor car driver. So Saraswati Thakur shows up in Brajamandal Parikrama Radhakund in a motor car. Right? Leather shoes. He doesn't use the latrine the way the sadhus do. They have to carry around some Western style utility. Many things. Right? And so he was subject to being criticized for unorthodox, non-standard practices of the Gaudiya Math. When he had his associates dressed in black, like at one point, like Christian priests or monks. So he's in Vrindavan, and he, what does he know? He's wearing saffron, which up to this point is the color that is associated with Mayavadins, who are the enemies of Vaishnavism. Mayavadi sannyasis, they wear that color. And even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, to support their opinion, they say, this was forbidden for Vaishnavas. And what do they give an example? They say, when Jagadananda Pandit got Mahaprabhu's permission to visit Vrindavan, but stay always under the shelter of Sanatana Goswami Prabhu. So when they're there, and they're in the kitchen cooking, and Sanatana Goswami is wearing a saffron, they call ruktavet, it means red, turban. And Jagadananda Pandit saying, oh, like, you got that from Mahaprabhu? Because Mahaprabhu took sannyas from Keshava Bharati, who was a so-called representative of the Mayavadi line, but not actually a Mayavadi. But anyway, so Mahaprabhu is wearing that color. Guru Maharaj pointed out, what is the difference? It was lighter. Mahaprabhu's color is much lighter than that, what everybody else was wearing. Anyway, so Jagadananda Pandit saying, thinking, oh, he's wearing some of the cloth he got from Mahaprabhu, he's wearing, you know. And Sanatana Goswami is like, no, it's not, that's who is, Mukunda Saraswati. He names someone, you know, like it's insignificant. And Jagadananda Pandit, who's known to be somewhat of a hothead, he's saying like, Mukunda Saraswati. That's a my line. He's going to hit Sanatana Goswami Prabhu with a pot. I mean, that's insane, but that's how he feels so passionately about this. And then Sanatana Goswami said, oh, Prabhu, all right, he said, actually, you're right. This color is not fit for a Vaishnava. So they can say, look, right here in the Chaitanya Charitamritam, the guru of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, our leader, he says, this color is not fit for Vaishnavas, yet you are wearing this color. What more damning evidence do you need than that? Right. Yet Saraswati Thakur is wearing that color. Why? Right. And he's our leader. No one would be here, no one, if it were not for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There would be no Krishna consciousness movement anywhere, right. India included. So what does he Guru Maharaj gives a wonderful example saying that, back to kirtan means a fight. It's making propaganda in favor of Krishna conception against the mayic misconception. In fact, dharmas, charma, gato, gateva, satata, bogas, to bogatmako. Yeah. Yogas, chabogatmako. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the whole line had veered off. Kalo nashta parantapa, right? Yoga nashta parantapa. It had deviated over hundreds of years since the time of Mahaprabhu to where the Vaishnavas, people say, like, don't talk to me about these so-called Vaishnavas. We know what they do. Many abominable, objectionable practices. Bhaktivinoda Thakur restored the line, and then Srila Saraswati Thakur began to promote it. But Guru Maharaj said, like a general, he has to be up on all the latest type of warfare. Otherwise, they will lose. You can't say, oh, we used to fight wars this way, and that's the only way. Then they will lose. And you mentioned, Guru Maharaj is noted for his use of analogy, Napoleon, and the, what do you call it, the Austro-Hungarian Empire. So they're fighting against the French, and they're winning. Then Napoleon becomes the general of France. Then the tide turns, and now the French are winning. So the Austrian king calls in his generals and said, what happened? And they say to him, there's this new general for the French who doesn't know how to fight properly. They say, let me understand what you're saying. The reason we're losing is because he doesn't know how to fight properly. Yes. And what they're saying is, it was the tradition. They would, you know, they line up in a particular way, and you search for the weakness of the other side, and then you attack the weakness, and then you gradually make progress from there. Napoleon, he attacked them at their strongest point and created damage in their strongest point, and then everything would topple. So they're saying, so who doesn't know how to fight? So with their existing means, the Sahajiya Babajis, etc., their, what they were doing to the lion is, I can't, the word that I want. Maybe it'll come to me. Anyway, they were misrepresenting it. Mal, it's a mal word. Mal, disfiguring it. Really, through their imitationist practices, destroying it, right? In the name of being familiar with all these quotes from various scriptures, right? So it's a word with mal or mis. Anyway, it's one of the problems of getting older. Your memory starts to go. Yeah. Anyway, so that's what happened under their tenure. Restored by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, promoted by Saraswati Thakur. And we see, here we are, Saraswati Thakur began his revolutionary activities of the Gaudiya Math in approximately, the, like now, 1916, 1917, 100 years ago. 100 years later, you see the outcome of his, what they thought were deviant practices, right? His deviation. Well, that's another one. They deviated, not he. But he did do some things that were non-traditional, because he saw in the in India, particularly, how much respect the people have for the saffron dress. So he used that to, as Mahaprabhu did when he took sannyas. What did he say? Is that he came with the medicine to cure the illness of the people of the Kali Yuga. But in Navadvip, because they saw him as ordinary, said the patient is attacking the doctor. Right? The doctor wants to get the patient's attacking the doctor. So Mahaprabhu concluded, and it's all part of his Leela, divine pastimes, he will take sannyas, and then when they see the dress, him and, with the shaved head and the dress of a sannyasi, automatically, by social, societal norms, they'll be compelled to offer him respect, and thereby they'll accumulate the sukriti that will result in their appreciation for what it is he came to give. So it's a strategy. We could fault Mahaprabhu for taking Mayavadi sannyas. Right? You're saying it's not fit dress for Vaishnava. Yeah, that's true from one point of view. Then Mahaprabhu? What will be the case with Mahaprabhu? He's, Saraswati Thakur is employing that same strategy. So, and using other things. He used the motor car. As he told when the Radhakunda Babaji offended Das Goswami, because in one of Das Goswami's prayers, he refers to the Brahmins as the Suragan, means the like gods of earth. And he's offering respects in different ways, and he includes the Brahmins. So this one, while Saraswati Thakur was there and the Brajamandal Parikrama with his disciples, he said, when the name of Das Goswami is mentioned, he said, oh, and we give our blessings to Das Goswami. This was offensive, as if Das Goswami was in an inferior position. We're giving our blessings. And this offended Srila Saraswati Thakur. Das Goswami is the Prayojan Tattva Guru of the Rupa Nigalayan. So he began fasting. And then naturally, all of his disciples were fasting. And as they like to do, so they're bringing in all this prasadam. And no one's going to accept one grain of that prasadam because they've offended the Prayojan Tattva charge of the Rupa Nigalayan, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. So I think Goswami, Bhakti Saranga Goswami Raj, Prakriti Prabhupada, convey them, you've insulted the Prayojan Tattva charge of our line. And the man came to realize that he spoke carelessly and thoughtlessly and realized he committed an offense, and he'd fell at the feet of Saraswati Thakur and begged forgiveness. All was forgiven and adjusted, and then everything became harmonized. But Guru Maharaj makes the point that Saraswati Thakur said, if I was living here alone doing bhajan, as sometimes happens, particularly in the old age of the Vaishnavas, maybe at that time they'll do more internal culture. He said, if I was living here alone doing bhajan, he said, hearing something like that, I would just go away. I wouldn't say anything. I would just withdraw myself from that situation. He said, but I'm here in a motor car, back to the motor car. I'm here in a motor car, like with 500 parikramis. Right? He said, as an acharya of the Gaudiya line of Rupa Goswami, so I have to say something. I have to take a stand. So it shows there are different paths are taken under different circumstances. Sometimes the Vaishnavas are concealing their position. Other times they have to come out, not in an arrogant, offensive way, as we sometimes are, do, but really, truly acharya abhiman on behalf of the Guru Varga as Jiva Goswami did, in the defense of Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. And I can also mention, one other thing comes to mind, that we hear, you know, Mukunda, the Vaidya Mukunda, the doctor, and he, we're told, he's giving, he's in the employ of a Muslim governor. So again, that means, just understand, if nothing else, they're having to conceal their devotional identity at work, all right? Trying to put it in a way you might understand. They're at work, but they're concealing the devotional identity, right? Out of necessity. And he's giving medical advice to that governor. They're on a balcony of some sort, veranda balcony. And one of the, as they had appropriated the divine paraphernalia, one of the, his attendants, the sun is shining down very hot. He holds a peacock fan like we have. Where do we have? Okay, all right, yeah. It's far away. I don't understand why it's not over here. Anyway. And he's shielding the governor. Mukunda is speaking to him. He's holding the peacock fan to shield the hot sun from the governor. But Mukunda is looking this way. And Mukunda sees the peacock fan. And he's such a devotee of the highest order that seeing the peacock feather reminds him in a very deep way of Krishna. Barhapidam. Natabara bapukarni okarni karam, bibrad basa kanaka kapisambhai jayantim chamalam, randran venur udhaya sudhaya purayan, gopa vrinde, brindaranyan supada ramanam pravishad, gita kirti. This is in the Bhagavatam. This sloka is describing the vision of Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys as they're singing and dancing and herding the cows into the forest in the morning. Okay. But what's interesting is, or of note, is this is spoken, this is from the angle, because we think, oh, it sounds like a Sakya Rasa kind of thing. Krishna, Balaram, cowherd boys, cows, and they're going into the forest. What makes this verse extra special is it's from the angle of vision of Srimati Radharani and the Braja Gopis. It's what they see. Right? Gopi vision. And what do they see? Beginning with Barhapidam. Barha means like Barhapidam and the Brahma Sanyata. Krishna, the peacock feather that Krishna wears. As a result, sometimes Krishna plays his flute so the peacocks will dance. They like to dance to Krishna's flute. So they convey to Krishna, please play your flute. Krishna plays his flute, the peacocks start dancing. And it makes them so happy that they come forward and they're offering their feathers to him. And Krishna like, take one of the peacock feathers, place it on his forehead. So Krishna, they're saying, they see the peacock feather, Barhapidam, Natabara. And it means Krishna like a movie star. You know, when the movie star, when people, like when they get in line, they all want to have a glimpse, the movie star comes and they're, you know, they smile in a certain way and they laugh and their hands move perfectly and they walk perfectly, their clothes are everything, and everyone's just fascinated to see everything about them. That's what they're saying. Natabara means like that. Also mean, you know, it means like that in modern context. So they're seeing Barhapidam Natabara Bapu Karne U Karne Karam. And on his ears, he's wearing Vrindavan forest flowers. Bibrad Basa Kanaka Kapisam Bai Jayantim Chamalam. The forest flower garlands, Rundran Venu, Adhaya Sudhaya Purya Goparvinde. And then they're saying, through Krishna's playing his flute, and the holes in the flute, the way they see it, there's streams of nectar in the form of sound that are coming out of the flute. And then it's creating a nectar shower of sound in the air, and their ears are drinking the nectar shower of Krishna's sound, the nectar sound shower of Krishna's flute. Because the Vayana is saying, touches the lips of Krishna. Just like, why does prasadam have extraordinary taste? Touches the lips of Krishna. That is the extraordinary taste of prasadam. But, and full variegatedness. But has this extraordinary quality on account of touching the lips of Krishna. Brindaranyam swapada ramanam pravishad gita kirti. So this sound, this song, they're singing songs, dancing, singing, dancing, playing, laughing, joking on their way, we're told. But the earth, who is a female, the lotus feet of Krishna, they're touching the earth. And it's, and what it's saying, we generally would think of the earth in some sort of a shanta rasa type position, but not in this case. Because it's, although Jamuna, or they appear really, their personalities, we're told, at the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna, she's shivering in conjugal ecstasy. That means swapada ramanam. She's shivering in conjugal ecstasy at the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna. So we can't have conventional stereotype of what is Vrindavan. I said once to Guru, just like I was having some kind of a, if not profound realization, some sort of realization. I said, so, just to, I was saying, then there, on the basis of what I was hearing, then there must be a difference between a blade of grass in Vaikuntha and a blade of grass in Vrindavan. I wanted to use that as a starting point. And Guru Maharaj went, of course. Oh, and the reason I said that, so Mukunda, just seeing the peacock feather triggered this sort of remembrance in him, and he fainted. Right? And remember, when the higher order of Vaishnavas faint, that means they're fainted to this world on account of being fully conscious of the upper world. They're not just in an unconscious position. That due to being, they're unable to maintain any consciousness externally due to having been captured fully internally in the upper world. So he's in the upper world and can't even maintain consciousness of a, to animate the body in this world. And so the Muslim governor and his, they're like fanning him. Better to use the fan on Mukunda. You got some Sukriti. So they're fanning him, and then gradually he's coming back to consciousness, and they say, where does it hurt? And he said, it doesn't hurt anywhere. And then he realizes, lest he be discovered, he says, I have this condition which is very similar to epilepsy, and sometimes it causes me to lose consciousness. And they're thinking, oh, okay. He's not advertising who he is, what is his realization, the depth of his understanding. Not he's concealing. And I have some condition, and it results in fainting from time to time. So what I'm trying to say is we should be very hesitant to Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Navujoy, to project upon other Vaishnavas what they're thinking in any given situation or circumstance. Rather, in the line of Saraswati Thakur, we should be thinking that they're advanced in Krishna consciousness and we are lacking and may be unfit or unable to do the service that's been asked of them. So, one in spirit, one in purpose. We're at war with the world, a conceptual war, not other. The other one is horrible, senseless, useless, but will always go on. We're not talking about that. There's a conceptual war competing for the wealth of Jiva, her heart, which is her serving potential. So Srila Saraswati Thakur would say often, when we're setting his finalities, Krishna Katha Durbhika. The only shortage there is in this world is hearing about Krishna. And as I've mentioned, the Brajagopis say, this is the cure for all types of suffering. Tava Katha Amritam Tapta Jivanam Kaviviriditam Kama Shapaham. And just hearing about Krishna introduces you to overwhelming auspiciousness. The heart becomes filled with wealth. Shravanamangalam Srimadatanam Bhuvi Grinantite Bhuri Dajana. And this is the really beneficial thing to do. This, as Dostoevsky said about beauty will save the world. You say, yes, when it is reality of the beautiful, Krishna, that's world-saving beauty, Krishna conception. And that's why we do what we do, everyone, directly and indirectly. Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chanda. Radhara Siva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhata Raguna. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raguna. Chai go chai jar muita rodas. Tanta bara padarenu mora panchagras. Tandera charana sevi bhakta sanevas. Janame janame mor ehi abhilash. jai go jai jabe go jai kolo e jai go shai jar mui taro das Tanta bara pada rinu mora panchagras Tandara charan sevi bhakta sanivas Janome mo ei abilas Echai gochai jabe braje koilo vas Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Korilo Prakash Anande Bolo Hari Vaja Vrindavan Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majai Aman Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriyas Hari Nam Sankirtan Kohe Narottamadas Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Rakak Shridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Bhagavan Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai Jai Saparikar Shri Shri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundarju Ki Jai Shri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai Shri Swarup Ramananda Ki Jai Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadeep Dham Ki Jai Shri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai Shri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Om Vishnupad Vishvavarena Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mata Charja Vrinda Ki Jai Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimala Abhidhut Maharaj Ki Jai Seva Vrinda Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Nithai Go Premanande